Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Menigan in for Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. This man covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hi, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
So have you relaxed for a couple of weeks, or do the hits just keep on coming?
Relaxed the last couple of days. But, you know, you get season wrap-up stuff I'm actually still working on. You get offensive coordinator search and hire. There's always something going on.
Isn't that the truth? Let's start with playoff games over the weekend. I'm sure you caught some, if not all of it. It left you thinking what about the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I caught all of them. It's a great question. I mean, it always starts with the quarterback for me. And you look at the teams left and, you know, three probably great quarterbacks. And I don't know where you want to put Jalen Hurts in that discussion, but pretty good quarterback, certainly. I also thought that, you know, we talk a lot about the run game, right? And we always have, especially with you, Jeff. And you saw it a lot, right?
Thank you, Scott.
I pay attention. And you saw it show up a bunch in these playoffs. And part of it was weather-related, but not all of it. And that stuck out to me. And I don't know if you have – I don't think you have to become a run first. You know, you're going to run it 35 times a game. But it helps. And if you have an elite run game, it travels, it helps you stay in game, all the things we've known for a long time. But as we also see, having that unbelievable quarterback who can make a play in the fourth quarter and on third down is also probably a bigger deal breaker than just having a strong run game.
The thing with it too, Scott, and especially the Philly part, I watched Philly and I thought to myself, maybe this Browns team is not as far away as we all think. And you can kind of see where you've, you know, seen the breadcrumbs of Myles Garrett and everything else that's come out of what he is thinking as well. And just with watching that Philly team, it's like, I could see the Browns doing this, where it's you've got this beefed up offensive line, maybe get a little younger on defense, get a little more speed in the offseason slash draft, and roll it back and just see where this takes you with a veteran quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, and see where this thing takes you. Do you see that as a possible way that this can go, that's a realistic, let's say, playoff team?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do think that the Browns can be a playoff team next year if they figure out quarterback and all the other offensive, mainly offensive issues that they had this year. Philly's an interesting comparison because obviously, Andrew Berry spent some time there. He considers Howie Roseman, the GM, a mentor. Now, Philly's got an unbelievable roster. So I don't know if it's, you know, I see the play style comparison. And I thought about the Browns offensive line when I was watching the Eagles offensive line. And I think at one point the Browns might have been close to that. Now guys are getting older, so I think. But if you get maybe an elite left tackle, it reshapes how you think about that line. But I get where you're going. I just think the Eagles have such a solid roster. And it's up front defensively. It's up front offensively. They got two studs at receiver. And obviously, they have the big-time running back. So the Browns could go that way. But it's not only the offensive line. They would have to figure out the running back room. And Who knows if Nick Chubb comes back? Who knows if he does come back, if he's the same player? So in order to get there where, you know, the Eagles are from a run game perspective, to me, it starts as finding the running back. And I don't know if the Browns have that guy right now. For years, you knew it was Nick Chubb, but I think that's a big question mark now.
It's funny, you went right to what I was going to ask you about. I think they have to upgrade the position. You better go find another running back. You have Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, who was their money guy down the stretch, you know, in their game. Kareem did a terrific job. I would think, based on what you've seen in the league this year, it's supposed to be a great running back draft. That's great. But you've seen so many guys who switch teams, veterans, who were really impactful with their new team. Scott, I wouldn't be stunned to see the team go out and draft somebody pretty high and bring in a vet.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. Now, I don't think they pay big money for veterans.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think that's their philosophy. But there's usually, and I know maybe we see a complete shift, but I just don't think we will. I think you'll see the top two or three guys on the free agent market get good money, like you saw from Saquon, like you saw from Josh Jacobs. But once you get to, you know, your sixth, seventh guy, I mean, Kareem wasn't on the Chiefs when the season started. So there's guys that you can get that I think are going to be relatively cheap, and you can get that guy. And again, I don't know where Nick Chubb sits in this discussion.
And that's tough, isn't
guy,
it? It's really tough.
It is. I mean, is he that extra guy you just have, or is he the veteran that you bring back and hope he's a guy and then draft somebody else? But I certainly think the Browns will draft somebody, and then I think it gets a little – I think it gets a little foggier when we talk about how they address the position from a veteran standpoint.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram. Also, you can read him at brownzone.com. Joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Scott, what does Tommy Rees bring to the table for the Browns? Because I saw this hiring and I went, okay, a lot of people think he's smart. Nick Saban sings all of his praises, all that kind of stuff. But he was also a part of one of the most inept offenses I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think if you're asking that question, if fans are asking that question, I certainly understand that. I don't think it necessarily, and it didn't, should have kept the Browns from promoting him just because he was a part of the league's worst offense. You know, especially, I mean, all you have to do is look at the scoring stand, you know, the scoring numbers, and there's a bunch of other stats to point you to say that they were the worst offense in the league. So I get that maybe skepticism about the hire, but I do believe that he's a really smart guy, and as Kevin Stefanski said, has a brilliant football mind, or however you phrased it. And I like, for a guy that's not super experienced, 32 years old, only 2 years in the NFL as a coach, he was a quarterback at Notre Dame. I think that means something. He was a coordinator at Notre Dame. He's a coordinator at Alabama for the best, you know, college football coach maybe ever, and Nick Saban. I do think those things matter. Kevin Stefanski had him in the building for a year. If he didn't like him or he didn't think he was ready, he wouldn't have promoted him. So maybe there's a part of it that they didn't want to see him leave, and they knew that there would potentially be other opportunities, whether it was in college, you know, he interviewed for the North Carolina job that went to Belichick, whether it was Mike Vrabel coming after him, whatever that scenario was. I don't think they just promoted him to keep him from going somewhere else. I think they really like him. They think he's got a bright future. Kevin Stefanski probably thinks he's going to be a future head coach. So if you have this guy in your building and you think he is a legitimate up-and-comer, like we see across the league, then it makes sense to keep him around. It makes sense to promote him. And there doesn't have to be a lot of pressure on Rees, because Kevin Stefanski can call the plays. Kevin Stefanski can help. I assume they're going to go back to a Kevin Stefanski scheme, you know, for lack of a better term, that we saw early in his tenure with the Browns. So Rees will have a partner to help him go through that and help him construct this system. So I think that all helps. And, you know, could have you gone and hired Daryl Bevel and thought, okay, this guy's been to Super Bowls? I understand why that would be more attractive from the outside looking in, but I think you have to trust the Browns and Kevin Stefanski to say, hey, you know, Kevin Stefanski is under pressure. he knows he needs to fix this offense. If he didn't trust Tommy Rees, then I don't think he makes that hire.
Do you think, and I don't have a gut feeling on this one, do you think Rees was the hire for Stefanski because Kevin thinks that Rees can come in and do what it is Kevin wants to have done? Or do you think that Rees was the hire because Kevin thought, man, I really like some of this guy's concepts, and I can't wait to see what he does with his offense?
I think it's more the first. Okay. I assume that they're going to go back to more of a run, not run first, run heavier, the wide zone scheme, play action passing.
What we saw from Kevin when Alex Van Pelt was the OC.
Yeah, okay. And before Deshaun Watson got here.
Yep.
And they started to change philosophically to cater to what they thought Watson did best. And Tommy Rees has a history of doing that. Like, he had run heavy schemes at Notre Dame and Alabama where he had two tight ends on the field, what we've seen Kevin Stefanski do. So I think that fits. I also think you do have some of that college influence that they really chased last year when they remade their coaching staff. It was part of that was Ken Dorsey in the spread, and part of it was Tommy Rees coming aboard. And I do believe that Kevin Stefanski appreciates new concepts, and he is trying to expand, and he knows that you can't just run it back with the offense you had 5 years ago. That doesn't work in this league anymore. So he's trying to, I think, recapture some of that past while modernizing it enough that it's not the same offense that they ran in 2020, and there are new wrinkles. And maybe that's not going back to complete wide zone, and there's more gap scheme, or whatever those technicalities are. And maybe Tommy Rees is the best combination of, yes, old school, but has some of the new college ideas as well.
I mean, my big thing, Scott, more than anything, is I wonder if Kevin Stefanski watched, and I know this is a bad year to make this comparison, but hang with me, watch the San Francisco 49ers with Brock Purdy and saw how they brought in motion and they brought in spread concepts and they did all of that stuff while still remaining somewhat loyal to wide zone while working their way around to everything else as well, and thought to himself, I want that. That's what I'm looking for. How can I take what I know works and can work best and work in modern concepts to make life easier for my quarterback? And that's why I wonder if Tommy Rees makes a whole lot of sense, because that's what you've seen throughout the college game, is that ability to basically give your quarterback a lot of indicators. Hey, is it man? Is it zone? Give him easy throws along the way. And that's the part of it that I'm with you, where it's like, okay, this makes sense. That's what Tommy Rees can do. Maybe we see that find its way into Cleveland. And if so, it's successful.
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. And I mean, I think Kevin Stefanski can figure that stuff out on his own. You know, if he's going to sit here the entire offseason and think about how they want the offense to look, and it'll be him and Tommy Rees and whoever else on the staff. But like, Kevin Stefanski has his own ideas, and he watches film on everybody. And, you know, whether or not he believes in motion as much as some other coaches do, I think that we can have that discussion, because we didn't see it a ton last year, and maybe that was the quarterback wasn't ready to handle all the motions, or maybe it was Kevin Dorsey didn't believe in all that, or whatever that might be. But I think Kevin Stefanski can do that himself, but he's also the head coach, so he's got a million other responsibilities, and he needs somebody he can trust and work with. And, yeah, I think Tommy Rees brings some of those elements from college, which makes it that much more beneficial, you know, when you're trying to, quote-unquote, reshape their offense, like Kevin Stefanski said.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
So Scott Petrak was just with us from the Chronicle-Telegram. That's, by the way.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Dan Menigan in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Kayla's flying the ship. Anthony's taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. I'm going to want your reaction to what we're going to talk about next. Scott Petrek was just with us. I texted Scott, as I often do when we get done talking to him, and said, thanks for being with us. Dan does it all the time because Dan's, you know, a great guy. And I said, I told Scott who I'm getting ready to throw out in the let's get us a quarterback shtick that we're going to drive into the ground over the next couple of months. And he said this. Glad you mentioned him. He has to be on that list of options.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
Yep, that's what we're going to do. And we've looked at a lot of guys, and these are just, we're not saying this is the guy. What we're saying is these are guys who are out there who could serve the purpose depending on which way you want to go. And we've looked at guys you could take with the number two pick. We've talked about Cam Ward. We'll talk about Sanders coming up. We'll talk about Jalen Milroe from Alabama, Tommy Reese's guy. We've talked about Sam Darnold. We've talked about Daniel Jones. There's another guy who's still playing football. Because his Kansas City Chiefs are in the AFC Championship game.
Wait, Patrick Mahomes is a free agent?
And that guy is Carson Wentz.
Oh.
Now, see, that doesn't Thank deserve you. That kind of a response. Carson Wentz is a fine young man. He just turned 32 years old. He's 6'5", he's 237 pounds, and he's now backing up Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Hey, you know, an odd number.
The Chiefs put their trust in Carson Wentz to come in and back up Patrick Mahomes. Now, just a little background on this guy. And again, we're not condoning anybody in pushing. What we're doing is giving you ideas of who might be out there. Okay? Daniel Jones is out there. We might talk about Russell Wilson coming up. We've already talked about Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones.
This segment really should be sponsored by an antacid.
Carson Wentz was the second pick of the 2016 draft. Jared Goff was first. And if you remember, the Browns had the second pick in that draft. And Hugh Jackson met with Jared Goff, remember, and his parents, and said he's coming to Cleveland and blah, 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 blah. The Browns traded out of that pick. And they traded the pick to the Eagles, who took Carson Wentz. And the picks that the Browns received eventually ended up becoming Jack Conklin and Deshaun Watson, but not by the Browns because they traded those picks. They just kept trading picks and trading picks and trading picks, and they ended up with a whole lot of nothing out of trading that second pick. I think Corey Coleman was the guy that the Browns ended up getting in that same draft. And Carson Wentz went to Philadelphia. Well, he won a Super Bowl in 2017 with Philadelphia. This guy's had kind of a tortured career, I'm going to say. The Eagles were 11-2 in 2017 with Carson Wentz as the starter. They were 11-2, and then he tore his ACL. He was out. Nick Foles took over, won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz gets very little credit. He was 11-2. My guess is Carson Wentz might have been the Super Bowl winning quarterback had he played. Because the Eagles were pretty good, and Foles did a great job, and I think Carson Wentz did a really good job, too. Just for giggles, the defensive coordinator of that Eagle team, Jim Schwartz, now defensive coordinator of the Browns.
Also so, Frank Reich, the OC for that team.
So if by chance the Browns have any interest, they have a guy that worked with Carson Wentz to some extent, you know, on the same team that won a Super Bowl, Jim Schwartz. So they come back in 2018. Foles starts the first two games because Carson Wentz isn't quite ready yet. And then Wentz became the starter for 11 games, was okay, and then went out and missed the rest of the season with a stress fracture in his back.
That hurts.
It did. Well, apparently it did. Hurt. Apparently it did. And then it just didn't work out for him there. Okay, so that he's out. Foles took over. It didn't work. He was in Philadelphia for five full years. But now over the last 5 years, he's been on five different teams. His last year that Carson Wentz was a full-time starter was in 2021 with the Colts with Frank Reich. And he was pretty good. He completed 62% of his passes, over 3,500 yards, 27 touchdowns, only seven interceptions, and he had a record of 9-8. Pretty good, right?
Passable, yes.
27-7? You don't think we'd take that here?
I mean, sure. If you're going to... My Carson Wentz problem is, and I didn't want to spoil it, so I want to make sure you get everything done. Do you have everything done? Have you set this up?
No, I'm not done yet.
Okay, well then you finish, and then I'll squash all your hopes and dreams.
Wow. Now, remember, I'm not saying that this is the guy, right? You understand that, correct? You get that, right, Dan?
No, the squashing will come.
Colts then traded him to the Washington Commanders. And he went to the Commanders, and it didn't go very well. And why didn't it go very well? Well, maybe again, because the guy's beat up. Maybe? I don't know. So he went to the Commanders. He broke a finger in October. When the team was 2-4 with him at quarterback, Taylor Heinicke took over. They went 4-1. He came back. He lost to the Browns. And that was pretty much the end of it. And from that point on, he didn't sign last year with the team. And okay, you ready for conspiracy theory?
Please, please.
He didn't sign with a team last year. He was sitting out. He was on the couch.
Maybe a recliner. We're not 100%
last sure. Year, until November 7th when he signed with the Rams. Coincidentally, 13 days later, the Browns signed Joe Flacco. I wonder, had the timing been a little different, had the Browns' need come up before the Rams' need, would the Browns have signed Carson Wentz instead of Joe Flacco? I don't know the answer to that. Might have been. but Wentz wasn't available.
Mm.
All right, cut with the and give me something.
All right, can I smash now?
No.
Okay.
And then after last year with the Rams, he signs with the Chiefs. And he's the backup to a team with Super Bowl aspirations, obviously. And they thought he was the kind of guy who could step in and do his thing. Here's what I think about Carson Wentz. If you don't like anybody at number two in this draft at quarterback, or you don't slide down and, you know, drop down 10 spots and still get Milroe and think he's your guy, I think Carson Wentz is the type of veteran who could come in here and start while you... A, well, you got a young guy ready, whoever that young guy might be, or perhaps a young enough guy at the age of 32 who finds it again and could be your starter for 3 to 5 years. Could be. Could be.
Okay, Danny Smash. All right, here's the Carson Wentz problem. One, unless you have Frank Reich with him, it seems like he can't operate. Like, he seems like the kind of quarterback who can only work in one system and one system only, and the minute you get him away from that, he, like, loses it. It's one of the most bizarre things
ever. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't think so.
Well, he's their backup.
I get
you
that.
You can't pay everyone.
I'm not telling you that the guy's going to be, you know, the second coming of Otto Graham if you were to come to Cleveland. I'm just telling you, the Chiefs have a lot on the line, and they signed the guy to be their backup.
They also had, oh goodness, the Michigan quarterback, whose name is totally escaping me right now.
Chad Henne.
Thank you. They also had him at one point.
Like, and guess what? He played pretty dang well for them.
He got the job done.
He played pretty dang well for them when he had to.
Mission was accomplished. It was a by hook or by crook mission accomplished, but it was accomplished.
What's Carson Wentz do for you? By the way, 216-474-0092. Your name's not Menigan, so... I'd like to hear from you.
The other side of it is the fact that he is oft injured to begin with. He has been previously short-circuited in other places when he gets pressure and starts to freak out and does silly things with the ball that he should not be doing. Unless you can program that out of him, you're going to find yourself in a position where you're going to go 8-9, or you're going to go 8-9. Yeah. Or you're going to go 7-10, or you're going to go 6-11. You're going to do something like that with Carson Wentz. I can't see Carson Wentz being the answer of somebody who can take you to the playoffs and make you look decent in the way. Now, if you wanted somebody who is going to be in there,
career record as a starter 500. 47-46-1.
To buy you 1 year so that you can hop back into next year's draft and maybe get into a bigger quarterback pool with more talent in it? Okay, talk me into it. Sure, well, that makes sense. But if you think he's the answer to your woes, I think you need to look elsewhere.
You know I didn't say that, right?
No, you did not.
Okay.
I am not saying you as in you. It's the royal
you. This whole bit we're doing is just to bring attention to guys who are possibilities and should be considered. And maybe more than should be. Might have to be considered.
Right.
If, let's just say, okay, let's say the Browns really like somebody in the draft, but that guy goes number one to Tennessee, and then you don't like anybody in the draft. Well, if you don't take a quarterback at two, I would doubt very seriously if anybody you draft later is going to come in and be your starting quarterback next year. You know, you want to draft Will Howard? Good luck. Maybe Will Howard becomes your Brock Purdy. Maybe he becomes your Russell Wilson. Somebody you ended up getting later who steps in and does something for you.
Or even O'Rourke from Indiana, if you prefer him.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. From Ohio, the Ohio Bobcats.
A Canadian.
And then went to Indiana. Maybe that's the case, except he's got a torn ACL.
That's true.
So he wouldn't be playing next year anyway. I'm just saying, there are a bunch of veterans out there who are going to be free agents who have done it before. I mean, the guy was 11-2 on a team that won the Super Bowl. So going back to what we talked about, where if you build the team around a guy, now you might not be able to do that. Can he step in and run the team? Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
He's got a big arm. I'll give him that.
He does. He has a big body. He can run.
His decision-making is questionable.
Can be. His interception percentage over his course of his career is... two,
questionable.
Which is not great. Led the league in interceptions in 2020 with 15. But again, That year when he went 11-2, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
If I could get
the next year, 21-7. The year after that, 27-7.
If I could get Frank Reich with it, I would debate it, but I can't.
Okay.
I'm not going to have him. It's like having one Wonder Twin without the other. It's like this just doesn't work. Now you're just here to take up space.
So in watching his team play the other day, there was Taylor Swift sitting up in her little booth. And I saw Ed Kelce in there. But sitting on Taylor Swift's left was Caitlin Clark.
What?
Caitlin Clark.
Get out of Dodge.
There's a story behind it. What I want to write, the story for next week. Who should sit with Taylor Swift at the AFC Championship game? Boy, do I have some doozies for you, and they're coming up next.
I've gone too far.
Mm-hmm. We just threw out the name Carson Wentz. Gave you some thoughts on Carson Wentz. His team, the Kansas City Chiefs, where he's the backup quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. He's going to maybe go to the Super Bowl. Could win a second Super Bowl ring without ever playing in a Super Bowl.
How do I get that life?
I don't know.
That's the equivalent of walking in.
That'd be pretty good.
That is the equivalent of walking in on the day before the group project is due with the donuts and just going,
yeah.
A plus.
Yeah.
I've done it again.
Yeah. I've got a thought for you coming up about your friend and mine, Taylor Swift. But first, I'm going to go to Ryan in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Ryan.
What's happening, Ryan?
Hey, Menegan, Jeff, happy holidays. I tell you, I'm loving your conversation, you know, having some fun with this. It's either A, you can laugh, you can cry as a Browns fan, and I choose to laugh, and we can get through this all together and conversate about what is going on behind the green curtain about what the front office is looking into, and obviously player personnel. And again, Menegan jokingly said, you know, all your...
Rhino, your phone bailed on us.
Also the best quote I've ever made.
All right, Ryan. Sorry, I got to let you go. Kyle's in Medina. Kyle.
All right, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
So I hear you guys throwing the name Carson Wentz around like it's candy.
Nay. One man is throwing Carson Wentz's name around like a candy.
Kyle,
he's playing catch with himself.
Kyle, what we're doing is trying to inform. I know that's a foreign concept in most sports talk radio, but we're trying to inform as to who might be out there and available. So, if you listened closely, I didn't tell you they should sign Carson Wentz. You did listen, right, Kyle?
Milhouse is throwing the frisbee alone in the park.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay.
So, one name that comes to mind for me that I would rather have here for the Browns over Carson Wentz would be Sam Howell.
Good luck getting him out of Seattle.
It'd be fun. It'd be a good time.
Threw more passes than anybody last year for the Commanders, and they were so impressed they drafted Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't think he did terribly, per se, but, you know.
I like him, Kyle.
Yeah.
I actually said to Menegan before you ever called, you know, Sam Howell would be interesting.
He would be. All right. That's all I got for you guys.
All right. Thanks,
appreciate
Kyle.
It, man.
Appreciate that.
He'll fling it. I mean, if you want a show,
he threw it like 600 times, right? For Washington last year.
21 touchdowns, 21 picks.
21 picks. That's right.
63% completion percentage.
I actually like him, and I think he could be good down the road.
I think he could, too. I mean, he's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't root for him.
You'd have to trade to go get him from Seattle, so we'll see. So in the Kansas City Chiefs game the other day, you know, Travis scores a touchdown, right? And you cut to the booth, and there, who's sitting there? That's right, Taylor Swift. And then sitting to her left, removed by one person, is Ed Kelce, who's been on the show many times, and of course, you know, Andy's best buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then sitting between Ed Kelce and Taylor Swift is Caitlin Clark. And I thought, wait a minute, are they great pals? What's the deal? Apparently, Caitlin was on the New Heights podcast with the boys.
Yes.
And she just said, you know, how much for some time has talked about Taylor Swift and what a fan. Apparently, in December, Clark revealed that Swift personally invited her to attend a Chiefs game.
Well, I know it was a big deal when she was at the Eras Tour in Indianapolis.
And she's gone to numerous. Yeah, she's gone to numerous, apparently.
Look at how hip I am.
And so, you know, you're hip. So they apparently, you know, went to this thing. And I'm getting all my information, by the way, from one of my really respected sports sources, Glamour.com. And so that's apparently how this happened. So
heck yeah.
Taylor Swift said, yeah, come on, let's go, playoff game. So there she is with Caitlin Clark and, you know, Travis scores and they hug and everything's, it's so, there you go. But we've seen her with, you know, like Brittany Mahomes mm-hmm. up there. We've seen her with Donna Kelsey. Well, now she's kind of up the star level a little bit, hasn't
Blake
she?
Blake Lively, Ice Spice, yeah.
Yeah, Blake Lively's been in there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty serious. But I thought, who should you bring in if you're going to try and kick up that celebrity level? Or, boy, she's with who? Who should she invite to the AFC Championship game? Because she's going to have the booth, right?
You have to.
I don't know whose booth it is, but she's in it all the time.
You got to have
the suite.
She's
front and center. And I put together a little Phelps list. I have seven.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. But I want you guys to contribute on this. First one at the top of my list, I thought, would she make a big splash if she invited Meghan Markle?
That's a good one.
Prince Harry's better half?
Ding!
That's a good one.
Would that be good?
You'd have a lot of reporters
Taylor
all around.
Taylor Swift and Meghan Markle sitting there watching football together?
That'd be a good one.
I don't know where Harry would be, but, you know.
That's somebody else's problem. He can go watch soccer.
With that in mind, I also threw in Kate Middleton.
See, that was the first one that popped in my head was Kate Middleton.
So between Meghan and Kate, but Meghan throws in the Hollywood factor.
That's true.
You know?
That is true.
So that might be something there.
And with the fact that she denounced the throne, or whatever it is. Is it denounced the throne? I don't know.
Whatever she did.
If you're coming to me for royal
with
news,
a title that really doesn't
news.
Matter anyway, whatever she did, she denounced it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Who do you have?
So the first one that popped in my head was Steph Curry. That one popped in my head.
Steph's pretty common. I like Steph.
Is he?
But, you know.
Though it is in basketball season, which would make that a lot tougher.
It might be difficult.
Yeah. But like that's
I don't know that that's the star power.
That's some pretty good star power,
although
though.
Although I put LeBron James on my list.
That's some pretty good star power on both of those. Yeah. And maybe it's just because I'm so focused in on the sports world rather than the pop culture world.
Folks, who should sit with Taylor Swift at the AFC Championship game? 216-474-0092. Forget the quarterbacks. This stuff matters.
This is what we're here for.
Kayla.
Well, if you're talking basketball, I would say Shaq over anybody else.
Would
I think
be
that
fun.
Would be hilarious.
But Shaq wouldn't fit.
That's a good one.
He wouldn't fit in that spot.
He doesn't fit anywhere.
He could stay.
Between Ed.
That makes it even funnier.
Taylor. Donna.
And more entertaining.
Shaq is a good one. That's a good call.
Shaq's pretty good.
That's a really good call.
Shaq's pretty good. Anthony, you have anybody?
I think I aimed a little too low on this. I don't know if this makes her a turncoat, but Haley Steinfeld is engaged to
Josh Allen. That's a good one. That's a real good one. I did not think of that.
That would be too tough because it's going to be a Chiefs-dominated booth.
Nobody would know who she is.
That's true.
She'd Although have to have like a lower third.
Pretty cute.
Would have to.
Oh, I know who she is.
She's pretty good. Yeah, she's got some pull.
Anthony just very creepily said, "I know who she is."
Yeah, I mean, she was in the the one superhero show.
She was
Hawkeye
in that
show.
One. Yeah, she was in that one. Dan,
people pay attention to comic books, man.
Are you want me to? What if she invited Kamala Harris? And she's sitting there with Kamala.
See, I was thinking like, okay, let's just lop off that problem, or not problem, that's the wrong way to put it, but let's just lop off
I'm Dan.
All the politics and shove those over there.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, think about it though. What if Kamala is sitting in the booth next to Taylor?
Be something.
Because Taylor, you know, Taylor endorsed Kamala.
She did. That she did. That would be
Well, that'd be a big splash.
That would be a real big splash.
That would be a big splash.
Though the more entertaining one would be if Tim Walz was sitting there with her, just because I think Tim Walz would be just
the old ball
hysterical.
Coach.
Yeah.
The old ball coach.
I think that would just be funny for the sake of humor.
I thought it would be funny if I said Melania Trump, because she doesn't care about anything ever, and she would just sit there.
Yeah, does she care about anything?
Never.
Other than her very tall son,
She's
Barron?
Very grumpy. And
you know,
I thought
Barron's
it would be
like
nice.
6'9" now.
Is he really?
Yeah. Barron Trump grew. He's no longer a kid. He's 6'9".
All right, get that kid in some basketball shoes.
I know. No. Well, he could buy the company. Is Tiger Woods still hot enough?
Yes.
That would be...
Yeah.
If Tiger were sitting there with... You think that would work with Taylor?
Without question. Without question. Have you seen any of the TGL stuff at all with him where they've had him mic'd up in that?
You've told me about it.
He hasn't exactly been the... And again, it's golfers, so you're not exactly going to golfers for personality school.
Yeah, he's not...
But like... He's not exactly been as boisterous as you would like him to be.
I have two more that I think might be killer. Kayla, you have anybody else?
Yeah, I was going to say Adam Sandler.
Now, Sandler would be
I
funny.
I think that would be hilarious. I'm just looking at comic value.
I wonder. All right, I've got two. I don't know how this would play. I don't know if they're buddies. I don't know if she's a Chiefs fan. What if she was sitting there with Beyonce?
That one popped in my head. Was Beyonce.
You think? And then I've got one. I've seen him at football games before, and I know he's a huge fan of Taylor Swift and vice versa. What if they cut to the booth during the AFC Championship game and they're sitting between Ed Kelce and Taylor Swift is Sir Paul McCartney?
Well, that would be something. That would be something.
Would that be big?
That would be big. The other one that popped into my head, because I know he's also a Chiefs fan, so it would work, would be Jason Sudeikis, a.k.a. Ted Lasso. I think that would be pretty big.
I don't think Jason and Taylor are hanging out together.
I mean, he's all over the place, and he's a big Kansas City Chiefs guy.
Or yeah, I know,
put
but
Paul Rudd in there, too. Paul Rudd was the other one.
But see, that doesn't work with her. I mean, she's lowering herself to bring in common comedians and movie people.
I mean,
but Meghan Markle, I mean, she's, you know,
you're valid.
Kate Middleton, you know.
Valid.
Sir Paul McCartney.
Good point. Ringo, he's got that new album out. Could have Ringo.
McCartney's a big Taylor Swift fan, apparently.
I could see that.
Kamala? Oh, that would set the world on fire.
Michelle Obama, too.
Oh, there's a good one.
Yeah.
There's a good one.
You want to go down that road?
Well, I can't wait to see who's sitting there coming up on Sunday.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited, man. This Chiefs Bills game is going to be awesome.
What if it's just Mr. and Mrs. Kelce? All the better, actually.
Either that or put
Ed,
Jason
Donna,
in there?
Donna, we're pulling for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. We all know who the celebrity is. It's Ed.
Jason would have to have a shirt on, though, wouldn't he? It's going to be cold.
TBD.
You think so?
Yeah, it's Buffalo. He was shirtless in Buffalo. You don't think he could be shirtless in Kansas City?
I don't know. That might be right. Guess what's happening tonight?
Do tell.
The Ohio State Buckeyes are winning a national championship. Or maybe they're not. Because a former Ohio State Buckeyes coaching the opposition. We're going to talk to a guy who played for the opposition. But he's fond of... He's got a soft spot in my heart because he's a former Brown. Former co-worker of mine. We did games together. Frank Stams. Former Fighting Irish. From St. Vincent St. Mary High School. Frank's going to join us next. He's in Atlanta for the game tonight, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.